Well, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. This will be part four of the series we've been in on binding and loosing. This will be the final part. And today we're going to be picking up where we left off, and we're going to talk about the big idea of following the example of Jesus. We'll never get ourselves in trouble when we follow the example of Jesus. When we get in trouble is when we start following the wrong people. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else ever done that? Yeah. My BC days. Unfortunately, I've always kind of had a leader spirit in me, and God made me that way, and unfortunately, I also led some people down the wrong path in my BC life. And I'm not proud of that. I've spent a lot of time repenting on that because it helped wreck a lot of lives, just like the people that influenced me helped wreck mine for a few years. But anyway, following the example of Jesus is the way to go. We're not going to read it yet, but you can turn there to Mark 7, verses 32 through 35 if you want, because we're going to be going there shortly. Again, Mark 7, 32 through 35. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. It's meat to us, Lord God. So feed us today through your word. Lord, we open ourselves up to you, to your truth. We seek after you with all our hearts. Lord, as I deliver this message and wrap up this series today, I pray you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for today, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He gave the early disciples and us many examples of how to minister to others. If we believe what he said in John 14, verse 12, which says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." So then why, when we see this in the Word of God, this isn't my words. I just read you what the Word of God had to say. And he said that we should expect to do greater things than he did. Not only the things that he did, but even greater things. Now that's something to wrap your mind around, isn't it? And when I say, when I see this and I ponder this, and I've pondered it a lot, because I'm charismatic to the bone, I believe in all the gifts for today. Okay? And that's what I live and teach and preach. When I think about the idea of doing what Jesus did, what did he do? He healed people and delivered people from the power of the enemy. He bound and loosed where it needed bound. He bound it, and where it needed loosed, he loosed it. So if we're going to do what he did, then we need to take up that ministry. And for us to think about even greater things, I'm thinking about greater miracles. How could we possibly do greater miracles? He did it all. Okay, so what's he possibly talking about? My idea is this. He only had 3.5 years to minister. Most of us have a lot longer than that. We can do more of it. Greater amounts of it. If we'll get in tune with God's Spirit. Amen? So, Jesus has commissioned his believers to loose those that are bound and cast out spirits. We can loose those that are bound. Not only can we, but we should. That should be part of our ministry. Should be a big part of our ministry. There are a lot of people that we write off as being just crazy, and they're not crazy. They're demonized. And they're never going to get free if somebody don't get involved in their lives, speak the truth in love, and lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then minister healing and deliverance through the laying on of hands. That's the way it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. Now, I don't want to put a guilt trip on y'all, because I know there are a lot of people that they're not ready, and some of them, a lot of them, never will be ready. They're just never going to accept Jesus Christ. So you got to be careful about not overburdening yourself. When you got a burden from God, you know it's real, and you go after those people. But don't get overburdened yourself and waste a bunch of time. Please don't take this wrong, man. Understand my heart. And waste a bunch of time on people that are never going to come to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, if the devil can't, you need to write this down if you've never heard this. The devil, if he cannot get us to derail from our faith, will try to get us so busy that we're no longer effective. He'll get us busy with the wrong things and the wrong people. You understand? There are people that are building blocks in the kingdom, and there are people, a lot of people, that are never going to be building blocks in the kingdom because they're never going to surrender to Christ. Okay? And this takes discernment, guys. This takes knowing Jesus and walking in the discernment in the power of His Spirit. Okay, Mark 7, 32 through 35. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hands on the man. And after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. We need to be open to the leading of God to do whatever He leads in ministering to people. I've talked about this before, but I'm very interested in revival and have an astronomical amount of stuff, even newspaper clippings from revivals of old, revivalists at the turn of the century back in the early 1900s, Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake. Many of you probably have never heard those names, but they were wild. Smith Wigglesworth was a little guy that wore kids' shoes. Seriously. And he would minister. He had some kind of ministry, man, leading people to Christ and healing and deliverance. It was absolutely amazing, guys. You should research, if you're not familiar with Smith Wigglesworth, you should research him. He also would go and minister in the power of the Spirit, and miraculous things would happen. Just absolute miraculous things. Every time there was a meeting. But he himself was so plagued with kidney stones, he was like a gravel pit. And he would go home and lay down and writhe in pain after the meetings all night long. It was a thorn in his flesh that, as far as I know, he was never able to get beyond. But in spite of it, in spite of his own weakness, When he walked into the pulpit, the Spirit of God fell on him and things happened. He is the one that in one of the meetings, a woman came up front with about a 2-year-old toddler and laid that child down, was crippling his legs, and laid that child down on the stage in front of him. And Smith Wigglesworth took a couple of big steps forward and kicked that toddler off of the stage. I'm telling you the truth. You research it. He kicked that toddler off of that stage. You'd be in prison today. Okay? But it's what he felt God lead. So he did. And that toddler spiraled, rolled off that stage. And when he landed, it was a little boy, when he landed on his feet and ran all the way out to church. First time in his life, he was born crippled. And for the first time in his life, he not only walked, he ran out the doors of the church singing hallelujah. A 2-year-old child. So, I'm not recommending you start kicking kids around. Another example, guys. Another true example. We were in a meeting, had an altar call for people that needed healing. And there was a guy standing there that wanted healing. And he walked up to him and he punched him in the stomach. Good thing he was a little guy, I guess. But he hauled off and punched him in the stomach. And the guy threw up a tumor on the floor in front of him. It came right out of him. When he was criticized later, when Smith Wigglesworth was criticized later for his antics, and they accused him of hitting this guy for no reason, his answer was, "Oh, I didn't hit him. I was hitting the devil. He just got in the way." That was his answer. And he was serious. Okay? So again, I'm not recommending you start going around punching people in the stomach. All I am saying is God works in mysterious ways. And he works in different times and different circumstances in different ways. And we need to be open and listening to the Spirit, because you don't want to miss what he wants to do through you. Somebody with me? It's quiet in here. I got you freaking out now, don't I? I could go on for a long time of examples of things from that day. Crazy. Just wild things. Andy Simple McPherson, when her meetings would fire up in the city that they were in, there would be people that weren't even at the meeting that when she started praying and calling down the Holy Spirit, there were women that were standing in the sinks, standing at their sinks doing dishes and fell out under the power of the Spirit, slain in the Spirit. That's the truth. They weren't even at the meetings. They was just in the area. We're talking about the power of God. Why don't we expect it today? Because we haven't been seeing it, except sometimes in other countries. How many times do we hear about what God's doing in Africa? You heard me there. My own experience. Doing deliverance on a woman that had been slithering across the floor like a snake. Her eyes were rolled back in her head. All you could see was the whites of her eyes. When I got down on my knees next to her and put my hands on her, she turned her head and hissed at me. It'd make your hair stand up all over your body. But I ministered deliverance to her, and she stood up and started praising Jesus afterwards. That didn't happen here in the U.S. That happened in Africa. Why? I don't know. God chose to do that. But I know this, as we are coming more and more into the end times, that there are more of these things that are going to happen again. And I don't want to, and I don't want the people in this church to miss the good stuff that God's doing in the midst of the darkness of the day. So, we're going to be a people that's binding and loosened in the power of the living God and glorifying God in it and Him alone. Luke 13, verses 10 through 16. Luke 13, verses 10 through 16. You guys, I bet you'd like to hear some more stories from the revivalists, wouldn't you? Beginning to read in verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" A religious spirit. It's not a good thing. A religious spirit will always attack and accuse a move of God. That's what we see here. And Jesus' response was, "You hypocrites! Couldn't, so bound by legalism that comes from a religious spirit, they couldn't even rejoice in the fact that a woman had been healed, because in their mind, Jesus had done the wrong thing because he worked on the Sabbath." That's some good work. Amen? Isn't it interesting that it says Satan had kept her bound for 18 long years? And Jesus said, "Be set free." And he laid his hands on her. Binding and loosing, guys. Listening to the Spirit and acting on what he speaks. That's all God requires of us. Listen to the Spirit and do what he says. Faith without action is dead, right? And also, action without faith is dead. Angels are ready to work on behalf of the believer. And I don't want anybody getting all whacked out on angels. A couple decades ago, people got pretty weirded out in that, you know, got off balance. So I'm always careful to use, I hesitate to even mention the angels, but they have their place, okay? So angels are ready to work on behalf of the believer. Anytime we minister in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we activate angels who go into action as ministering spirits sent to serve us. It would appear that they are waiting for us to speak the life-giving words of the Bible as we minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? The life-giving words of the Bible. Speaking the word is powerful. The result is people being loosed into the kingdom of God and being free to enjoy the abundant life in Christ. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come to give what?
Life.
Life to the full, life abundant, depending on the translation you're reading. Life to the full. Okay, so the result in people being loosed into the kingdom of God, they're free to enjoy the abundant life in Christ. You know what the biggest part of the abundant life in Christ is for me, my own experience? Is when I know those times, and they're rare, when I got it right, and I'm right in the center of God's will. There is nothing more wonderful for me. There is no more abundant life than when I know I got this one right. I got it right this time. It's not often enough, but sure is wonderful when once in a while, nail it. I nailed it! You know what I'm talking about. It's exciting to see God move, to fulfill His own word. Hebrews 1, verse 14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation? Huh? How about it? So they have their place. Angels clearly have their place. Again, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? There are specific prayers that loose people into the kingdom, into kingdom living. Specific phrases. How many of you know that you don't have to pray some long half-hour prayer to get an answered prayer? You guys come to know that? A well-placed, short prayer with sincerity from the heart moves mountains. Amen? The Pharisees were rebuked by Jesus because they loved to go into the temple and pray long, long prayers that made them look so spiritual. And Jesus rebuked them. Pretty much told them, it's not the length of your prayers. It's about your heart. And he didn't make a lot of friends. Big reason they killed him later. Okay? Okay, you ready for these phrases? I loose you from poverty and into prosperity. I loose you from poverty and into prosperity. Next one. I loose you from fear and release you to walk in faith. Next one. I loose you from depression and into hope. Many, many people need these prayers spoken over them. You agree? I loose you from accidents and into safety. You know, there are people that are accident prone. It's just always something. You realize that can be a demonic thing that's attached to them. And it takes somebody discerning enough to recognize that and pray a phrase prayer like this. I loose you from sickness and into health. You can pray that over me if you want. I pray that over a lot of y'all, because let's face it, these old bodies, they break down, and there are a lot of people going through physical things. Next one. I loose you from discouragement and into confidence. Oh, somebody needs that. It's easy to get discouraged. Next one. I loose you from confusion and into peace. We know that confusion never comes from God. If you are confused, the enemy is involved in it. Because confusion never comes from God. Next one. I loose you from the negatives and into the positives. People that are always looking at the negative side of everything need that prayer spoken over them. They need something broken so that they will see the glass half full instead of half empty. I loose you from bondage and into freedom. All of these in the name of Jesus Christ. Powerful phrase prayers. Don't need to be half-hour prayers to get answers. A prayer from the heart that is sincere will move mountains. It will loose people. It will break the bondages. It will set them free. Next thing I want to talk to you about, the big idea, is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is commonly implemented when someone is sick and in need of God's healing. It is specifically mentioned in chapter 5 of the book of James. Any willing believer may pray the prayer of faith, even though the scripture says elders are to be called. This is a command for elders that we see in James 5, but it is not limited to elders. When I was a lay person, before I was ever a pastor or in any office in the church, I was out praying for people and people were getting healed. I was out with my anointed oil, anointing people and praying the prayer of faith and seeing them get healed. Okay? So it's not limited to. There's a lot of people that think, oh, that's limited to the pastor and the elders. No. God leads you to go pray for somebody, go pray for them. God leads you to anoint them with oil, anoint them with oil. And pray over them. Just make sure it's God. And make sure your motives are right. Make sure you're not out there just trying to make a name for yourself. Make sure you're out there ministering to people because you love them and you want to see them well. That's got to be our motivation, because otherwise it becomes about us instead of God. Am I making sense? James 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's what God's called us to do. You guys realize how many churches are out there that are caught up in religion? And their elders nobody in the church ever goes and does what Jesus did. To pray for them. Not for the, oh Lord, if it be thy will. Sounds religious. Is religious. Quite often no power in that prayer. See, when we believe in our hearts that God has called us to do this, to get out there and operating and binding and loosing, ministering to people and seeing God heal them and deliver them, when we get in the middle of that, we get purpose in our life. We get fulfillment in our lives because we are in the middle of what God's doing. There's no greater joy, again, than to know in your knower that you're in the center of the will of God and He has used you to do something. He is the God that does the work. We are the hands to the people. If you will, we're the conduit. If you know what a conduit is, we're the conduit. So practicing the prayer of faith, we are to go to those who need healing when God leads us. And when we pray, we're supposed to expect it's going to happen. Many times it don't happen immediately. Sometimes it does. But we got to pray and believe it's going to happen. In God's time, it's going to happen. Not an empty prayer. Oh Lord, if it be thy will, could you touch this sister? It's not where it's at, man. It's more like, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take up your mat and walk. The sick person is to call the elders of the church. It amazes me, as pastor of the church, how many times I either never find out somebody was sick or in the hospital until after the fact. It shouldn't be that way. Myself, as the pastor and the leadership of the church, should find out when you're going through things so we can pray for you, so that we can pray with you, so that we can enjoy the abundant life together. It grieves me when I find out, oh, this person was in the hospital and I never knew about it. I'm like, how's that happen? How did I not know about it? You heard me now, right? I love you. I care about you. God has called me to shepherd you if you are here. And part of that is ministering to you when you're going through horrible things and going through trials and sickness and disease. That's part of it. And I want to do that part of it. So please indulge me. Let me know when you're not well. Okay? You can text me. You can call me. Just give me the word somehow. Not only that, it's a good thing to get it on the prayer chain. We've got some prayer warriors in this church. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for every one of you. By the way, I've not brought this up before, I keep forgetting. I am blown away and touched in the depths of my heart for how fast that prayer clock filled up to pray for me and my family and for this church, of course, too. But that prayer clock filled up in a week, man. I was absolutely stunned and touched to the depths of my soul. Thank you. Doesn't even seem adequate, but that's all I got. Thank you. So the elders are then to pray over the sick person. The prayer of faith. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. For 40 years, I have carried a vial of anointing oil everywhere I go because I never know when God's going to point somebody out that I need to minister to. That's the truth. I carry this all week long when I'm in my jeans and t-shirt. I'm not even in dress clothes, and I got my oil with me. Because whether I'm in jeans and a t-shirt or what I'm wearing today, or a three-piece suit, or a tuxedo, I'm the same guy. And yes, I've gotten some oil in my pockets. Because once in a while, they leave. Says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Did you notice it doesn't say maybe? There's no maybes there. So confess your sins and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So what if you don't see anything happen when you've done this? Believing, confessing, and praying that the Lord will raise him up is not a guarantee that the Lord will do it instantly. All right? You just keep believing. I've prayed for an astronomical amount of people in the last 40 years that didn't get healed immediately. And several of them responded with, "Oh, it didn't work." No, it works because God's word said so. You don't stop believing the moment that it didn't happen on that moment. When the Holy Spirit intervenes with a word or direct revelation of what will happen, then the person may receive their healing quickly. However, without a direct word from the Holy Spirit, we must leave the timing of the healing up to God. And just keep believing it's going to happen. The biggest mistake Christian ministers make is trying to force God's timetable. Allow God to just be God. Do what he's called us to do. Listen, a lot of people will not step out in faith and do this by me operating this ministry of binding and loosing, praying over people. Because they ask, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, that's not your responsibility. Our responsibility is to obey God, and the results are up to him. So you don't take that responsibility on you. Your only responsibility is obeying God. God says, pray for this person. Pray the prayer of faith. Anoint him with oil. Bind the enemy and loose them. Just do it. The results are up to God. Takes all the weight off your shoulders. Our mission is to pray in faith and leave the final results in the hands of the Lord. Oh, it's exciting to see them instant miracles, or almost instant. You know, years ago, there was somebody that was part of this church. They haven't been here for a long time. But their heart was racing like a runaway train. And they'd been to Iowa City, and Iowa City checked them out and said, the only thing we can do, there's a little nodule on your heart that is your God-given pacemaker. And this thing was messed up. Okay? So the plan was to go to Iowa City, they were going to do surgery, and they were going to burn this little nodule that is a God-given pacemaker, which kills it, and then this person, and it was a young person only in their upper 20s at the time, and only then have to put in a man-made pacemaker, and they would be dependent on that pacemaker the rest of their lives. Well, she came here on a Wednesday night and caught me at the end of Bible study and told me, and we were standing right back there by that railing in front of the sound booth, and off on this side, I can picture it even as I'm talking. In my mind's eye, I can see it. But the Holy Spirit welled up on me when she told me about it, and she was really shook up. And she was to go to Iowa City the next day and have this done. Why didn't you tell me till the night before? I don't know. But I remember reaching in my pocket, pulling out my oil, anointing her with oil, and praying the prayer of faith with her, binding the works of the enemy, and loosing healing into her body. And after we prayed, tears were running down her face, and she said, "I feel my heart slowing down." So she went to Iowa City the next day to have that surgery. And they started prepping her for surgery and checking her out and found out that she didn't need the surgery anymore. And to this day, she's not had that surgery. God healed her God-given pacemaker. I could tell you stories like that over and over. I mean, over these last 40 years, I've seen God do amazing things. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that all the time. That's why I'm telling you this. Many, many people I've prayed for, they're still waiting for their healing. Still believing. Some of them were already healed later. Some got healed the day after. I mean, you just don't know. My point is this. Guys, let's do what Jesus did and leave the results up to Him. How about it? Binding and loosing. Yes! 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 All right, that's our series on binding and loosing. Let's stand together. Lord, I just reach my hands over this congregation. I pray, Lord, that we have been touched, ministered to, and have felt your call as a result of this mini-series on binding and loosing. Lord, open the ears of our hearts that we would hear your voice clearly. And when you say go, we're willing. Lord, may we be ministers to the people in our circles of influence. Lord, make it clear to us. And Lord, do mighty things for your glory as we obey your Spirit, as we listen and obey. Now, Lord, may we also never forget what it says above the door of this church as we are exiting, that we are entering our mission field. Take us in your hands and use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.